All right. Sit back, relax. The geocaching podcast is going to start once I get this button to push and do what it's supposed to do. All right. Everybody ready? Let's do this thing.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now.
Geocaching podcast episode 380, recorded live on December 3rd, 2014. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks and
Stevens ad infinitum.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com, go find it. All right, we have to start this off right now. We cannot let this go. In one word,
what?
O-beep.
O-beep.
O-beep. If you have not listened to the O-beep podcast, it's British based.
It's British.
Yes, it's British. Clap for them. They're British.
It's British. Literally. Oh, my gosh. Literally.
No, that's more Irish. Kiss my shillelagh. I'm just saying. That's just how that. But yes, OBEEP podcast is a geocaching podcast hosted by Mark Downing and his son Sam, Dr. D. And they are fantastically fun. It is a great family-based show for geocaching that happens to come out of Britain.
Britain.
Not that that's a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Watch what you say.
But, well, yes, they're still threatening to invade Montana. That's a whole different subject. We'll get into that some other time. But the American invasion has come along.
Yes.
And our very own Scott Burks and his partner Walt Grogan invaded OBEEP. Yes. And it turned that sweet, kind, loving, family-based show of wonderfulness into the Chicago Geocaching Podcast. Yes! It was awesome. Scott, tell them a little bit about this, because this is something I really want people to know. One, I want you to know the OB podcast, which actually this isn't a good example of it because you don't actually really hear Mark that much. But
No. It's
a great show that you're going to want to go find out afterwards after you get done laughing listening to the last episode.
Yeah, Mark, about three or four weeks ago, Mark contacted me and said, hey, I have an idea. I said, all right, yeah, what's your idea? He says, I want to get you and Walt on the show. You know, because me and Walt's show ended about in April, I think it was.
That show has never officially stopped. Don't even say.
Sure, it's done. We did one show in August. We did a live show at West Bend. That's about that.
It lives in spirit.
It lives. It'll never die. And so he says, I want to get you and Walt on the show. Are you interested? I go, I don't know. Let me talk to Walt. You know, and so I called Walt. And Walt's like, absolutely. Let's do it. It'll be fun. So the problem was getting together. We couldn't get getting me and Walt together in one room together. You know, we don't live really close anymore. We live, you know, probably about 40 minutes away from each other now. So we had to find a time where both of us could actually get together and do it. You know, and so it took about a week and a half for me and Walt to find the day to do it. So we did it. And what's funny is that I actually, hello,
you're there.
Oh, I'm here. Okay, good. I actually posted a picture of me and Walt. Just me and Walt recording, a selfie of me and Walt recording, and put it on the Chicago Geocacher Facebook page, and the Facebook page exploded.
Yeah.
Just exploded with just people going, what's going on? What's going on? You know, oh my God, what's going on? And then nothing, you know, because we didn't release anything the next day, you know. And And then we just put it on OBEEP. You know, we followed OBEEP's format, and you know, just had a great time. You know,
it was a lot of fun. It was fantastically fun.
Definitely was not family friendly, but
well, no, this is a PG-13, definitely and above.
Kind
of show. It really was. It's definitely all the heart and spirit of Chicago Geocaching Podcast.
Yeah. We followed their format. Yeah, and we wanted to get some good show. You know that, you know, anybody who listens to OPEEP who also listens to the show, I don't know if you do or not, but they like to rip on the U.S. pretty good. So we spent the better part of an hour and a half just tearing apart the U.K.
Yes, you know,
hitting every low fruit we can grab and smack off the tree. You know,
the best thing was there.
It was fun. We had a good time.
It was excellent. I was telling Scott before we started the show. It's a long show. It's an hour 45.
Yeah, well, most of our shows, Chicago Geocache, was 2 hours.
I listened to it at least twice. So it was fantastic. It's just lots of fun. Congrats. For placing your American poll, sir. It was a great job.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
It was nice to walk down memory lane one more time with Wally.
Oh, I bet. Hopefully there will be more. I'm just saying.
You never know.
You never know.
Never say
he's
never.
Got a short memory. It'll happen again.
Yeah. All right. Geocaching-wise, anybody get out to do anything? I did a couple of more lunchtime geocaches, but that was it this week. Weather's been interesting.
Yeah. God, not much. The weather's been – I had the kids this weekend. I went to Jesse placed my 11K, so I went and got that.
Awesome.
Night. Yeah, she finally we've both been slacking on both of our milestone caches, so she finally placed my 11,000, so I went and got it. And
wow.
Hers is out there. I just have to get it approved and then give it to her. But, so I went and got that. Got my 11K. Awesome. That's about it. I haven't done much caching. I had my kids.
Yeah, it's just been one of those weeks. I think, you know, when you get into the holidays, it really starts – you know, matter of fact, I think the one thing that kind of ticked me off is I was supposed to go meet up with DeBear last weekend and just came down with a really nasty migraine again and just did not go. And I was really looking forward to it because you looked on many of the social networks and all you saw is all these people just traveling all over the place doing nothing but geocaching. It's like, I want to go! Yeah. And that hit. So, yeah.
I got this weekend we're going, me and Jesse are going out and we're doing a bunch just to make
heck
up.
Or high water, I will be out there. This
I haven't been out
I gotta in a do long it. Time.
Yeah. So what about Corey? Corey, how about you?
And I'll tell you that it's on my plate to do. With the family, you know, I flew my mom out for Thanksgiving. I had my brother-in-law and his family come in. And between working full-time and going to school full-time with finals coming up and entertaining them,
Family tends to drain a lot of energy out of a person, and it's like any of mine. You don't really get as much time as you want because you'll sit there and say, because everybody will be around during the holidays, and you'll say, hey, I'm going to go do some geocaching, and then you get the look.
Well, they're from the warmer weather, too. So
yeah.
I'm like, hey, you know what? You guys – no, it's too cold. All right. What do you want to do then? I'll hang out with you because, you know, we got you over here.
Yeah, we'll watch football.
I built a snowman.
Well, there you go.
You had that much snow to build a snowman? You got that much snow?
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of snow. We had Thanksgiving Day, there was at least 5 or 6 inches on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, he was taller than me.
Lucky you.
I'll leave that.
He didn't
right
last there. Long. He melted down to about half the size the next day, and then he froze over. It's been icy ever since. It's been
See, that's North Carolina. You can get a foot of snow, and the next day it's gone. So that's how that goes. All right. Well, let's move on, and we'll go from there and get into talking with our guest. The podcast roundup's coming up, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And let's see what's going on. Geo Gearheads tomorrow is episode 153. GC Droid is actually an Android app. The developer of this handy app joins Daryl and the Bad Cop in the studio. Take a look at them and find out more about this very, very handy app for geocaching. And let's see, also on tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, we're sneaking it in under the wire, but we're getting it in there. We are going to have the, get this, the He Said, She Said holiday geocaching gift list. So this is going to be interesting. You know, Amy's been geocaching for about a year now, so she's still a bit of a, with an N, Scott, noob. And so she's, you know, geocaching. I was going to say, I'd do my air horn, but I've got something else queued up already. So she's going to look for 10 items that she would give as a gift for a geocacher. And then I've got 10 items that I have for what I would give for a geocacher. So we'll see how this meshes tomorrow. The He Said, She Said holiday geocaching gift list. Check it out for the ones you love and your snuggle muggles out there to stick those notes where they'll find it. Just saying. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Geocaching question of the day.
Geocaching question of the day. Hey, cachers. I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, are you a member of a local or regional geocaching club or group? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that 91% of cachers are members of local, regional, and even online groups. Many cachers belong to multiple clubs and social media groups, too. So here's what we heard. Tammy on Facebook shared, shout out to my geo buddies, Middle Georgia Cachers. LeMax on Twitter shared, well, sort of. The Geocachers of the Bay Area, GBA, it's more of a group that meets via social media with occasional events. Well, Dawn on Facebook shared, nope, there's an excellent group in my area, but honestly, I'm already involved with so many other organizations, I can't commit to any more. If I had the extra time, I would definitely join. Well, many great groups were mentioned, and we encourage all of you to find your local and online groups to join if you have time. And if you're like me, your geocaching club will become a big part of your social circle. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about geocaching clubs and groups, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa, from cache-advance.com. We love listening to your questions each and every week. And, yeah, I know a lot of people. If you do not belong to some form of geocaching club or organization, highly, highly recommend that, because that is a great way to get into the social aspect of geocaching. You can really meet up with a lot of other geocachers on a regular basis and just build your geocaching experience just from that, let alone a lot of other ways. Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff. All right, well, let's move on to, Geocaching Podcast Episode 380, Geocacher and our, we may have one other hat in the ring, but how do we put this, Scott? Plebe or pledge or victim, geocacher, G-Man Send? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome, Jerry. Now, Jerry, I was very pleased to hear that you're actually from what, Webster, North Carolina?
New York, Webster, New York.
Or New York, I should say. I'm North Carolina in the brain here. That's great. Now, you actually, because the first thing that popped in our heads when I heard where you lived, it's like, so you survived the snowstorm. Well, you actually didn't get anything.
We got very little snow up in I'm just outside of Rochester, New York, so we're up on Lake Ontario, and we got very little snow. But you know, sometimes all it takes with lake effect snow is which way the wind blows, and it just happened to be blowing the right way for us to avoid it this time. But boy, Buffalo certainly got it, and that's only about an hour away from us. So.
Okay, so I was going to wait for Scott to say about Buffalo blows, but just in case, I'm just saying.
I've actually geocached with G-Man San over there.
Yeah, we did.
Yes,
that power trail.
And we did a power trail in Canada, what, about 2.5 years ago, Jerry? How long ago was that?
Yeah, it's probably about that.
About a couple years?
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? That sounds interesting.
Well, I was me and a buddy we're taking a train to Buffalo to New York to go cache, and a couple of friends were going with us, so there was a group of four of us. And so I put it out on the Chicago Geocacher show, saying, "Hey, is anybody in that area want to, you know, cart us around all day, drive us around? Let me know." And Jerry emailed me and said, "Absolutely, let's do it." And Jerry, I don't remember who mentioned who mentioned Canada. Was it us or was it you? I don't remember.
I think you guys looked up that power trail up there.
Somebody found a power trail in Canada.
I think it was Cody. Actually, I think it was Cody.
Right over the border in Canada from New York, there's a 100 cache power trail, and I'm like, "Hey Jerry, you got the birth certificate or something?"
I can cross the border legally.
Because we want to go to Canada. Jerry's like, "Let's do it." So he picked us up. We took the train, rode the train all night, and got to Buffalo early in the morning. Jerry picked us up, and we drove to Canada and hit a power trail.
Wow.
We drove up to the Niagara Falls. And got all the caches up there and saw the beautiful views from Canada. I mean, it's ridiculous, the views from Canada.
The cornfields are lovely.
Then we went to Buffalo, right?
Then we went across back over. Well, after Charge Man and Carol B got engaged.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
then we went back over to the States. We cached a little bit around Buffalo, and you guys had that event. Remember, we had
a meet and greet event in Buffalo.
Meet and greet event.
That is awesome. So, Scott, tell me, is there anybody in geocaching you have not geocached or known?
There are some, yeah, believe it or not. There's a few left, but it's just, you know, when you know, I had the show, and, you know, it's like we had listeners, and, you know, it's...
from all over the world.
It's awesome.
They would contact us, you know, so it's like, yeah, a lot of people... I know some names sound familiar. I haven't met anybody, but a lot of names sound familiar, and you know.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Actually, just out of the coincidence too, I think Jerry was what GeoStock 9.
GeoStock 9, I think it was. Yeah, in Warren, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we actually went there, and we were in the registration line together. He was like one in front of me. You were with your daughter, weren't you?
Yeah. We went, my daughter and I went down, we camped out there, and we were in the registration line, and you walked up behind us, so.
Yeah, I tend to do that on a lot of people, but.
You probably met 1,000 people that weekend, so you don't remember that, but whatever.
Small world.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a small caching world is what it is.
It really is.
I mean, it's, yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, that Geo Woodstock, there was a lot of good podcasting done there. You guys had that booth, and Daryl was down there, and a whole bunch of other podcasters were there. It was great.
Yeah, Daryl actually brought the van with all his studio stuff.
Wait, Daryl owns a van?
He rented a van.
I think that's the same one
he sells stereos out of, but that's a whole different subject. we ended up doing, I was doing Geocaching World at the time then, so that was the TV show for that, and then we did probably eight or nine episodes for different podcasts that day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was just solid one after the other. Everybody did, and the funny part is, as we did each show, it's not like you could just call in guests for that. So the other hosts were guests on the other podcast, and we just switched. Around on the different shows. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of work. A lot of work. But had a good time meeting a lot of good geocachers. All right, so G-Man Sam, do me a favor, Jerry, and just tell us a bit about yourself as a geocacher and what it's like to go geocaching in New York.
Well, I've been caching since 2006. I've got about 1,700 finds under my belt, hidden about a little over a dozen caches. I mostly cache around New York State, but I have cached in 23 states and with Scott up in Canada. I'm also a geocaching merit badge counselor for the Boy Scouts. And... kind of like to use GSAC and get into the macros there, so got a little bit of experience with that. So, Geocaching in New York is pretty much like geocaching other places, except we got the snow in the winter and
you never know.
Snow, yeah. Well, you know, for 3-4 months out of the year, you gotta dig for your caches.
Right. Well, that's Chicago as well, and Montana as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You chisel for them up here.
Break them out of the ice blocks, right?
You gotta tell you, rubber mallet is the king of winter.
Absolutely, because yeah, otherwise those lock and lock boxes don't have a chance.
Yep.
I've used my walking stick more than once to break open a cache.
The LPCs freeze, so you gotta bing, 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 bing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, the mallet, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Now, you were saying, Jerry, and I was very interested in this because we've talked on several of the podcasts about the geocaching merit badge.
Yeah.
There's two ones that you had mentioned before, and I'm interested in both, being a counselor, because we don't usually get to talk to people that do this. One, mm-hmm. you're a geocaching merit badge counselor. You're also a public speaking counselor.
Yes, and one other one, space exploration is my counselor? Other one.
You're a space exploration counselor.
Merit badge counselor.
Oh.
Okay, so you actually a space merit badge counselor. So what toys do you get to play with? I'm just saying. Do you get directions to the Enterprise? How does that work?
The space exploration one is a lot that has to do with building rockets that we actually launch into space. I don't know if you're ever familiar with the Estes rockets or things like that. Yeah. So, you know, it culminates in building a rocket and actually launching it. So that's always a fun one for the boys.
How Scott, be nice. How high? I'm used to you.
How high can I
know you? I know you're in tundras now. So how high have you been able to get a rocket, and I'm assuming with a camera, that type of thing?
I've never actually launched one with a camera in it, but you can, depending on the size engine you put in it, you can get over 1,000 feet.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, they can go quite a ways. I mean, you can get them up so high you can't even see them. And then up at the top, there's usually an ejection pack which pops out the parachute.
Right.
And the parachute allows it to come down to Earth safely. So
yeah, but the question is, if it's 1,000 feet up there, if it's 1,000 feet up there, how is it coming straight down? It's not. I mean, you get a wind and that thing.
Oh, often it does not.
Yes. That's the next.
You have to have a fairly large area or a lot of people to go scout them. Yeah, it's. I've lost many rockets up in the trees.
And
yeah.
So in the chat room here, College Bear wants to know, what's the process to go about being a counselor? Do you have to take a class for that?
Good question.
It's fairly easy. You have to apply to be a merit badge counselor through the Boy Scouts. You have to take a youth protection course, which they require of all of their adult leaders. You basically just have to provide evidence of your expertise in a certain area. How long you've been doing it, you know, things like that, and you just put that on the application, and they'll review it, and generally they approve most people that will do, as long as your background check, you have to have obviously a background check.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah, that definitely would be the top on my list as a parent.
Yeah. Make sure you're driving a candy van, you know.
Yeah, you got to sign off on having a police background check and the youth protection training, which is really Jerry important.
His van up to the Boy Scout meeting.
He's a good Joe. Don't worry.
He's been vetted. It's okay. He's been vetted. Go. Go play with him, kids. He's been vetted.
I've been involved in Boy Scouts for a long time. My son was in Boy Scouts. He's too old now. He's almost 19.
He's a man?
He's in college now. So you know, he's in college now. So he's you have to be in Boy Scouts until you're 18, and then you're no longer a Boy Scout. You're you can be an adult leader, but you can't be in the Boy Scouts anymore.
Yeah, I was a Boy Scout myself, and all I keep remembering is the jamborees, and we don't even want to get into the other stuff, Scott, so we'll just leave it right there. No, that's great. The other thing I was curious, because for space exploration type thing in the rocketry, for Boy Scouts, that would be like top of my list to want to get into. Matter of fact, one of these years, when we have our next Cashier Coffee, we'll talk about. I used to live by Selfridge Air Force Base. Matter of fact, the subdivision that I lived in was adjacent to Selfridge Air Force Base, and we'll tell you about how the military really appreciates young teenage boys doing rocketry in the field next to Selfridge Air Force Base while they're having their jets fly.
I didn't know Boy Scouts did the rockets. I thought they were all about the boxcars and, you know, the race cars.
They're into everything.
Well, Cub Scouts will do the Pinewood Derby cars.
The Cub Scouts.
Yeah. Cub Scouts do the Pinewood Derby cars.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
All right, so let's talk about the geocaching merit badge, because I have always felt, ever since I saw the requirements for the geocaching merit badge, how every geocacher that starts geocaching needs to do this. It should not be geared just to the kids to go out and learn and get a merit badge. Every geocacher out there should learn orienteering, should learn how to do the right thing when it comes to geocaching, to understand the creed and how to understand how the importance and the components of geocaching and how they're supposed to be right when they start geocaching.
It teaches the basics right from the start. I mean, it starts out, your first requirements are, learning the safety, making sure that, people know where you are. Talks about dangers that can be out on the field from insects and reptiles and things like that. First aid, goes into leave no trace. So there's a lot of different aspects of it before they even get you into the geocaching piece of it. And then the next step is to actually learn about GPS coordinate systems. You have to learn UTM and go into that. And then you start actually, getting an account, finding the geocaches near you, hiding a cache, or organizing an event for CETO, things like that.
I love that, too. That's awesome. Yeah. And then they get right into, teaching other people about geocaching.
Exactly. That's the final requirement, is actually hosting some type of an event for other people to learn geocaching.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's to get your merit badge, right?
Yep, that's to earn the merit badge. Yes,
really? I have that. It's on my caching bag. I actually have the merit badge.
Do you really?
Jerry, did you give it to me? Somebody.
No, I don't think I did.
Chicago Geocacher Podcast emailed it to me.
When did you earn your merit badge?
I have the geocaching merit badge on my geocaching bag. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the Boy Scout credence?
I'm Jewish. I don't. But Jews aren't Boy Scouts.
There you go.
Yeah,
come on. Do you even know part of the
know.
Boy Scouts?
I don't know. Come on. I'm not getting into this. Jews aren't Boy Scouts.
All right, here we go. Neither am I, because most of them are in Lutheran churches. Figure that out. Boy Scout credence, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, happy, green, and reverent.
Clean, and reverent. Yep.
Yes. And, there's actually a really good a caching series out here that was, I think it was put out by Boy Scouts, that like, each cache, you had to do one, and then you got the Cache to Eagle patch, which is on my caching bag, but I have the Cache to Eagle patch on that as well.
Cache to Eagle is another scouting program for geocaching, so that's kind of separate from the merit badge.
Yeah.
Isn't that part of certain states, or special? There's only one section in a state, right, with that one?
I'm not sure of all the. I don't really do a whole lot with the Cache to Eagle, but I know that the caches related to that are for the different aspects of geocaching, or excuse me, of scouting. So
that's what ours was. Yeah, each cache was a different. You had to get a code word from each cache, which was those words. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Now the other one that I think is most important, because I always get a kick out of people when they talk about this, What do you have to go through for your public speaking merit badge?
Well, public speaking is just that, putting together presentations, giving talks. I mean, usually the first one that they have you do is introducing yourself. So it's mostly about being able to stand up in front of a group of people and speak, you know, and that's all public speaking really is. So I've actually been involved in public speaking for a long time. I was involved in Toastmasters International for a while, and got my CTM certificate from them. Haven't been involved in Toastmasters in a long time, but it's still, you know, it flows into my work and doing presentations, conferences, and things like that. Excuse me.
Yeah, I always found it fascinating, and I'll ask Scott and Corey about this too. Do you know what the number one fear to a human being is?
Public speaking.
Yeah, it's most people say death.
Even more than the fear of death, they say.
So that means they would rather be in the coffin than giving the recital over.
Eulogy.
Over.
Yeah, but there's a secret to it, you know, and that's the, you know, so. You just gotta learn the secrets. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I don't know if it's learned or. I mean, I've always never had a problem with it. Never. I've never had a problem with public speaking or getting in front of a mic. Anything.
But I don't either.
I know people who are deathly, deathly afraid of it. You know.
Absolutely,
you
know, terrified. Deathly afraid. And it's of it. Getting over that phobia to for them to be able to actually do that. Have you had any that just couldn't do it?
No. I don't recall anybody that has never been able to do it. I mean, it's. It's just, you know, coaching them, getting them more comfortable. You know, when you're trying to put together a presentation and trying to present it, the more comfortable you are with the material, the easier it is to present.
Oh, so obviously, yeah, you're going up the cold.
It's going over it, learning it, you know. And one of the tricks that I usually try and tell anybody who wants to do public speaking is, you know, write out your presentation. And then break it apart into a bullet format, because nobody wants to have you sit there and read your presentation.
Yes.
So if you put it into bullets, then that kind of reminds you of what you want to say, and then you can speak more extemporaneously about it rather than reading it, which is much more boring.
And by the way, Scott, I just realized we can't use Jerry. He uses big words.
No. Oh, you're just saying. Like extemporaneously?
Extraterrestrial. Like,
yeah.
It's funny.
Look it up, Andy. Look it up.
I like it. That's what Google's for. That's great. that's my $5 word there. I mean,
that's definitely a $5 word, no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Now, one of the other things, Jerry, we had talked the other day over some of the stuff. You had mentioned Geocaching Academy, and I had heard this actually on Podcacher, where they were talking about this, and it sounded like you wanted to take, is there in what, Texas?
Geocaching Academy is something that was, I can't remember when it got started, but there's a couple, Corey and Teresa, they're down in Texas. They started this program called Geocaching Academy. I also heard about it just recently on Podcacher, so I'm fairly new to getting involved in it, but I thought it was a great idea. I think geocaching education is very important. That's why I became a merit badge counselor, and, you know, I wanted to expand on that, and, you know, I'd love to provide education to law enforcement groups, to schools, to parks and rec departments, you know, just to get the word out about geocaching, how to do it properly, and things like that. And so when I heard about the Geocaching Academy, I sent off an email almost immediately to Corey and Teresa and said, hey, you know, I've just heard about your program. I think it's great. Do you have any desire or interest to expand it out to other parts of the country? You know, because I'd love to put something together like that up here in New York. And he wrote me back almost immediately and said, yeah, we're interested in that. I've had some interest from other people in different parts of the country. And do you want to get together and have like a hangout or a Skype call and just kind of brainstorm ideas? And so we're kind of setting that up right now. And so they they've done some interesting programs down in Texas with the Texas Parks and Rec Department. They've done some stuff with public and private schools, community groups, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They do company picnics. They do birthday parties. Any place where you want to get geocaching, you know, expand geocaching knowledge, they'll do these classes. And they have classes, everything from, you know, geocaching 101, where you teach just the very basics. Then they have like a 201 class where you get into multis and puzzles and things like that, do a little bit more involved there. Then they have something a little bit more involved with hiding your own caches, how to put together a cache, how to actually put the page together, go out there and find a good spot. So they kind of have different classes that work your way up through, you know, geocaching from the very novice to the more advanced. They have another class on puzzle caching, and I think they're trying to get some classes on GSAC started. So, you know, it's really kind of, you know, it seems to be getting started, and they've been moving along pretty well. So I'm hoping to get on the ground floor of that and get that up here in New York too.
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of contacting them myself, because basically what they did is they kind of hit the perfect storm in Texas. They hit just right with the parks and recreation group through the entire state, started doing simple classes at the parks. Mm-hmm. And they would have, I seem to remember sometime even up to 100 people at a class.
Really?
And doing things. And it's one of those things where they got great backing from the people of Texas. And we know native Texans, and we know a lot of other people that are down in Texas. And their park and recreation, you hear about them talking about geocaching. Mm-hmm. And they really have a good backing behind this. And if there's anything, I mean, you know, all of us, we've been doing this for how long now when it comes to talking about geocaching, anything that it goes to to educate new geocachers and experienced geocachers even about the game, sport, and subject of geocaching, we're all for it. And mm-hmm. they just seem to hit this perfect backing thing, and I could see this growing. And if this is the case, I want to be on that wave too, because that is something that I would really love to get into, to be able to do classes, and if you got that kind of backing. So
yeah.
That's awesome. We're going to see if we can get them on the show too and talk about it.
So these classes...
Yeah, definitely.
So two questions. I have two questions about this real quick.
Yeah,
one,
sure.
Is there a website? I'm sure there's a website. Is there a website?
About geocachingacademy.com.
Geocachingacademy.com. Mm-hmm. And two... are the classes like do they have the classes online? Can you watch them online? Like
the ones that
they actually give the classes live.
No classes online on the Geocaching Academy or anything like that. There's no
not
like,
right now
online tutorials or anything like that.
Not right now, but the thing that they're writing very well is coming in as public speakers. Mm-hmm. And giving the classes there, and they get enough of a promotion where this isn't like you got five or six people walking around a park and, hey, do you want to learn about geocaching? They promote it, they get it, get people excited about it, mm-hmm. and they get a following when they go to these classes, and they've driven apparently all over Texas doing these classes.
Is this their job?
Yeah, they actually have a class. I was just looking at their calendar today. They got a class on December 20th at one of the state parks down in Texas, one of their geocaching 101 classes.
Is this all spare time, or is this a career?
Yeah, no, as far as I know right now, they've got other things that they do, and they just happen to hit it just right with, hey, we'll do a class.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like GeoSnippets when it first started. It's like I thought, okay, here's this little tutorial thing I'll do on Bison Tube, and next thing you know, you've got all these people saying, I want more. Tell us more. Do more. And that's what they're riding on right now. So that's awesome.
Yeah, they've actually got a crowdfunding. They're trying to get some more funds to get more GPS units and some more materials down there. So if anybody's interested in supporting geocaching education through the Geocaching Academy, just go out to geocachingacademy.com, and there is I think it's through GoFundMe. So you can just click on the link that's on the main page there and help them out, because they're trying to grow it, they're trying to expand it, they're trying to get geocaching education out there throughout Texas, and hopefully through me and other people through other parts of the country as well.
Yes, no, that's nice. Going to be good stuff. And like I said, we're going to see if we can get them on for the show as well, because that's a great thing. Anything to promote education, I'm all for.
That'd be great, yeah.
All right.
I'm sure they'd love the opportunity.
That'd be great. So, Jerry, tell us a little bit more about what you like doing when you go out geocaching. What kind of a typical geocaching day do you normally have? What type of geocaches do you like looking for? Any particular areas? That kind of fun stuff.
I just love going out geocaching. Usually when I go out, I cache by myself most of the time. I used to take my daughter, but she's growing up, getting older, you know, so she's moving on to other things. Nobody else in my family is involved in it, so it's just me. So I'll go out if I have a few hours to do some serious caching. You know, I'll pick an area, download all the caches from that area and onto my GPS drive, and I'll just go from cache to cache, getting as many as I can during the day. So I like all different types of caches. I'm not that great at the puzzles, but I'm trying to get better at it.
Bob.
So
hanging out with Scott will teach you a thing or two.
There you go. If it's a field puzzle or something like that, I kind of like those. But when you have to sit there at home trying to figure out where the coordinates are, it's not really my bag too much. But I love going out doing the traditionals, the multis, the just basically just going out there and finding geocaches.
There you go, Scott. You got another advocate for multis.
Oh, I love me my multis. Love me my multis, man. Love them.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I got a few multis that I put out there myself. So.
Well, good for you. That's great. I love those. You know, multis are good. It's a shame that people in the United States don't tend to adhere right. to multis as much as we would
hunt
hope.
Hunt the multis. That's my
yes.
Everybody, hunt the multis.
That's it. So, Jerry, when it comes to geocaching in of itself, you've been doing it. Scott, be nice. I know you're double entendres now, so it's just automatically I hear this little. Go,
what?
I don't know. It's.
He brought the bell out of retirement for the OB podcast.
I listened to it for 4 hours, so it's just permanently burned in the back of my head.
I am a good boy on this podcast.
You are very good. I've only had to air a couple of times.
I may snicker to myself, but I don't.
And I can see the brains going too. It's like
smoke coming out of his ears there.
Yeah. So you've been geocaching since 2006. You've seen the different evolutions of geocaching over time. What kind of things can you talk about as far as that you would like to see either improving with geocaching or like to see certain things that come back?
Everybody talks about virtual caches, and I think I've done some great virtual caches. There's a lot of places where you can't put a physical cache, and I went down to with the Boy Scouts. I went down to Gettysburg, and got tons of virtual caches in Gettysburg. In the battlefields, and then all the cemeteries and the monuments and everything down there. It was really really fun to do that. Or like Washington, D.C., doing the virtual caches on the mall there. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see something come back like that. And I'm thinking like either, a history cache or EduCache or something like that, something with an educational or historical value, like they did with Earth caches, mm-hmm. But from a history standpoint or an education standpoint. So you're actually learning something. There's a way to... so it's not like the reason that they got rid of the virtuals, every McDonald's that you walk by is a virtual cache, So, they seem to have done it very successfully with Earth caches. So mm-hmm. I think they should be able to put something together for history caches.
That's actually a pretty good idea. We briefly touched on it last week, I think. We,
yep.
something along those lines, but like actually making it like an Earth Cache where you actually have to do some research on something and actually have to answer a couple of questions for the virtual, that's not a bad idea.
I actually like the name, Jerry, and we're going to steal it with EduCache, so we'll copyright it under Geocaching Podcast, just saying. But I do like
I'll give the sanction for that.
Thank you, sir. I do like the idea of an EduCache because that could cover the spirit behind those type of caches and not having it just to, like, say, history. You can have many different applications that are education-based.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I think that's an excellent idea.
I think that's an excellent idea as well. Yeah. I don't hear many excellent ideas. Jerry, excellent idea, dude.
Exactly. Copyright.
A lot of bad ones, but that was excellent. I like it.
That and Maltese, Scott, right?
Maltese. Hunt the Maltese, people.
Oh, hunt the Maltese.
They will go away if you don't hunt them. Hunt them.
Why Maltese falcon just went into my head. I have no idea. I don't know.
You don't hunt them. That's totally different, Andy.
See, my brain just went and went off that way. That's just how that goes. Okay, that's good. We're running just a smidge late, not too bad. And each one of the people that have been going for the host slot, Scott, jeez, I hear this ding in the back of my head.
That even came over my head, and he's still
like, stop. I said slot. So, anyways, we ask at the end of the show for each of you to kind of have a little elevator speech of why you would want to be a host on the Geocaching Podcast. What would you answer for that?
As I was telling you before, I'm a podcast junkie. I listen to podcasts all the time, going to and from work and doing things around the house. So I listen to all the geocaching ones, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Doctor Who, other television shows, basically, you know, anything that's geeky. I've often thought that I'd love to get into podcasting, but it's not something that you really can do well alone. You really have to have at least one other host in order to put on a decent podcast. You've seen, you know, all the decent podcasts out there, you know, Sunny and Sandy, you and Amy, Scott and Walt, Mark and Dr. D, you know, I mean, all of the podcasts that are out there that are successful always have more than one host. So I never felt that I could put together a show and put it on consistently with a good a good product on my own. So I never delved into it. But then you came out and said, you know, hey, we're looking for another host. So, you know, I thought I'd hop on the bandwagon and say, hey, maybe this is my opportunity to break into podcasting. So
that's awesome.
There you go.
That's great. Good stuff. Yeah, so and basically what we have told, and we're going to ask now for all our viewers and listeners to start putting in, go back to each of the shows that we've had the last four, including this one, of each of the hosts, and let us know what you think, which host you're going to be interested in. Now, I've said this pretty much, I think, each one of the shows with each of the host potentials, the exact same thing. I don't want to lose the talent when it comes to you four, because each of you brings something unique and cool to the table. And I don't want to have, just because we have one slot, I'm going to continue, one space to go for the fourth host, I don't want to lose the other three because of that. So what I really want to do with this, and I'm going to talk with each of you about this, we're going to eventually have, in a very short amount of time, pick a fourth host. The other three, I want to have you guys come in whenever we need one of the four hosts can't make it in, or for whatever reason, we've got life just as much as everybody else does, to have you guys come in and bring your expertise into the show. When those happen, that's the lightest end of it. The rest of it, I would love to have for you guys to come up with your own feature subjects during the year. So in other words, what happens is each of the three that aren't part of the four hosts would pick a subject and then come in and do the you basically take over the show. So in other words, what you would do is you would go in, talk about the particular subject we're going to talk about, and the rest of us can join into that and go that way. So that way you kind of have, yeah, I don't want to just say roving reporter, but just different viewpoints that we can have come into the show that way. So we don't want to lose the talent. We would like to have you guys on because all of you have got great attributes when it comes to speaking and your viewpoints of geocaching. They're all good. Every one of you are good. So we, like I said, this is going to be the way that we'd like to do this. So what we'll do is we'll come up with a decision over the next week or so. We'll come up with the fourth host where there's a possibility of one other person that might be interested in it, and we'll give them their shot too if that comes to fruition. And if not, we will come up with the fourth host. And like I said, we will get you guys in on a regular basis because you're all great, and the more information and the more viewpoints that we can come in, the better.
Absolutely. So, I agree.
That's great.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, Jerry, thank you so much, sir, for coming on to the show. We greatly appreciate it, and we definitely want to talk more in the future with all the different aspects. I still want to get into the public speaking stuff. I love that. That's just awesome. Maybe Corey can learn how to talk better, I'm just saying. More gooder.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What's wrong with me and my talking?
you're very good at you're good in talking back, yeah.
Andy, I just think one show, me and Andy should just no-show the show and just have poor Corey sitting
there. Let him go. Just let him go.
Hey, that's okay. You know, I mean, I will talk about my insane cache encounters with moose.
Moose and squirrel.
And squirrel?
Natasha.
And squirrel.
Moose
and squirrel.
We'll let him do it, Scott. I swear, we'll just let him do it.
Just no-show it and just let him do it.
That's awesome. You won't have the air horn to hold me back.
Hey, you know, that wouldn't be a bad thing. I actually, how do you put this nicely, Scott, to another guy where you just say, just let your hair hang down and just go for it?
Just like that.
Right. Okay, good stuff. So we'll leave that there. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Scott, Corey, you're always the greatest. Thanks. Jerry, thank you again for coming on the show. We hope to have you on really, really soon. And I think it's time we wrap this puppy up. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you, Lisa from cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast. Right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, and Corey Stevens. This show is copyright 2014 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.